Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. Every action you take to help the late talkers in your life is important, that the fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. Welcome, everybody, to another Spotlight interview. My name is Marcy Melzer from wavesofcommunication.com, and I have a very exciting interview today with Miriam Campbell, who is a speech-language pathologist. I'm just going to go flat out and call her an intuitive speech-language pathologist because she's also a social worker, a teacher, and now a consultant. And she helps teachers and therapists, but mostly parents, but actually by helping their teachers and therapists, which I love, develop social emotional skills, connection.
Thanks, Marcy. I appreciate it. It's truly a privilege to be here. So that connection has always been what's been driving me and motivating me in my work and my life. And that was really something that when I was trying to figure out, like as a student, as a high schooler and in college, what I wanted to do, I really wanted to help people with being able to develop the skills for connection. That was really how I started out in speech language pathology.
And that's just true about everything, right? Yeah. You just were a connected communicator anyway. And obviously it makes sense that you went into the realm of speech pathology because that's what we do, is we help people connect and communicate, talk to each other. So that makes sense.
Yeah. And I really, very early on, like when I was working, I was doing the cognitive aspect of understanding how there's different levels of communication and the logistics behind it and the, understanding the hierarchies of the, what type of cognitive support a child needs to be, or a person needs to be able to communicate and understand their environment. And what I quickly bumped into was, first of all, I'd be getting all the clients with who also struggled with social skills and pragmatics and things like that. And I felt like I was a little bit like unprepared to support them with the holistic approach of their emotional world and from like understanding the regulatory components and things like that. So I went back to school for social work and learned a lot about how to support them in those ways as well. And I really find when I usually I'm working with children and their families and thinking about them in terms of what cognitive needs they have and what language needs they have and what emotional needs they have, being able to see them in that way really, I find, is first of all, allows me to connect to them more easily. And also in, just like Marcy's all about, like when you have that connection, there's so the ease of communication, the ease of that, the connectivity just flows more naturally. And there's more flexibility in the way that we're able to communicate when it's about how to connect to the other and when it's about just trying to understand the other in the way that they're communicating.
Oh my goodness. It is everything, right? It's everything that we talk about on Waves of Communication. It just gets me tingly because I'm so excited that you're out there also talking about this and helping people connect with their kids, because it really doesn't matter what you're teaching. You could be teaching math. You could be teaching English. You could be teaching how to fix a car. Right. You have to connect and understand your learners' perspective in order to teach them. And when you do, your teaching is so much more effective. They're learning, you're teaching, it's flowing, it's, the waves of communication. I love it. So I love also that you saw the limitations of in the speech therapy / cognitive / evidence-based world of making kids talk, like getting so many productions in a half an hour, getting kids to say words in a certain way or fix their L sound or something like that, there was missing in that training the connection part. the part where you yourself as Miriam wanted to really connect. And I think that's what makes me also an intuitive speech pathologist, is I couldn't separate them. I wanted to connect with this human as a person. How otherwise, we're talking about communication here, right? How are you going to help them communicate their ideas if you don't understand them? Wow.
And very often, like, they'll a student will come to me either with like previous goals, or like the parents will say like, well, I need them to work on XYZ. And what I really try and explore with them is what's going to help this child functionally be able to connect with others. So sometimes there is an articulation thing that needs to be addressed, because that is blocking them from being able to connect, because either they're being mocked in school or whether, but the focus is always back to how is this going to help us connection. And what I find is that actually really helps address issues that a lot of speech therapists are questioning now, with the whole neurodiversity, accept the child as they are, like, let them be, you know, communicate differently. But when the focus is about the connection, then it's no longer about seeing somebody as smaller or less than because of their differences, but being able to connect to them. And that really goes for all of us. That goes for the client who's trying to think about, okay, so it really bugs my mom when I X, Y, Z. And that is, no one's free from it. There isn't the client isn't free from it. The parent isn't free from it. The teacher. And that's really like the holistic approach, where the community grows in these skills. So the training that I do, you know, with my parent cohort, with my teacher's cohort, with my therapist cohort, is very much focused on making sure the emphasis is about connection, and having it be something that as a community we're working on, where a parent is working on their perspective taking skills and the therapist is working on their perspective taking skills. And that includes how they view the parent. How can I have better compassion and empathy for the parent? How can I have better empathy and compassion for the client? How can the parent have more empathy for their child and for the therapist and for the principal? It becomes something that there's no one that's released from like responsibility, but everyone is empowered and taught the skills.
Through responsibility, through it, through your part. Everybody plays their part. It's win, 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 win. You know, all over the place. It's not just, you know, everybody giving to help the child. It is everybody working as a team so that not just the child thrives, but the therapists thrive, the teachers thrive, they feel
the parents
going to work, the parents thrive, right? Yes. Because you feel amazing as a facilitator. And that's why I call all the people who watch me facilitators, language facilitators. That's what I'm equipping you to do. Connect with the child and facilitate their improvement from wherever they are. And I know that you find this too. I want to hear some examples, though, of how this connection actually exceed the expectations of those parents who wanted their kids to say the yes sound or say sentences or start talking even. How, when you facilitate this way, through connection and empathy, and again, doling out the responsibility, everybody collects their responsibility to be part of the process and enjoy their part of the process. How do the outcomes look compared to those parents who come saying, I want my kid to say this, or I want my kid to do that, or I want my kid to stop doing that? Because it's either they want them to do something or they want them to stop doing something. And that's why they're coming to the therapy. So when you look your way, my way, the connection way versus the outcomes way, how does the solutions end up?
So what, it's funny, when I started out working, I was working very client focused. I would work with the students one-on-one. I'd work with my clients one-on-one, and I quickly became very frustrated. And the reason I became frustrated is because as much as I, virtual stranger, even as much as I would try and develop rapport and connect, there was no way that my relationship with the student or the child would be strong enough to be able to motivate, meaning obviously attention is the biggest motivator, just because we're all hardwired for connection. Brené Brown is always saying that. But we have this innate desire for connection. So when I saw, the first time I saw it in seeing in more of a global, you know, sense, was I was working in a school where there was a very, very strong collaborative model, Yaldenu in Brooklyn. And the teachers and the therapists and everyone was like on the same page. And I saw tremendous progress in the students. And I was like, that's how it needs to be done. So that was when I really started expanding. And I, you know, stopped working with kids unless their parents were willing to work with me, even though it was annoying for them. And I lost clients because of that, because the parents were like, fix my kid.
You know? Same thing. I did the same thing because you're like, look, I just want to talk to people who are willing to step up.
And I didn't feel good about charging them for something that I didn't really believe in. Like, I didn't believe that the generalization and the carryover for these skills, especially if I was working on relationship skills or communication skills or emotional regulation skills, you know, a parent would call me up and say, okay, like my child's struggling with this and this and this regulatory process. I'd be working with them one-on-one. And yes, there's ways that you can like try and like help them, like, you know, play in a competitive game where they lose and then they deal with the emotional regulatory.
It's
contrived.
Yeah.
It's contrived. And how much more empowering when my parents that I would train could go and step in and they knew what to do and they were empowered to know how to support their kids. And then if the same approach, because sometimes in a place of dysregulation, when the child's in the middle of a tantrum, that's not really the place for, you know, problem solving, executive functioning, frontal lobe type of activity.
Wow.
There's no blood flow over there.
They can't. It will fail if you try.
Right. So then that's when like the teachers would step in, because then I would teach the teachers, how do you put this into a social studies lesson? How do you put this into your math lesson? How do you put this into
sort of pre-teach what happens when you break down and you can't handle? I love that.
They're in class, they're regulated at that time. So this way they have the cognitive, the pre-teaching, the theories, the constructs. I call them skill constructs, that when I teach my therapists and my teachers and my parents, I teach them the skill constructs that they can apply anything to. So they could apply it to their math lesson. They can apply it to their when they're in the grocery store and their child's having a tantrum. They could apply it in their one-to-one therapy sessions, because they have this like sort of broad framework to learn how to process the challenges that they're addressing for the connection.
So you are equipping them. That's what these skills are. We're not talking about cognitive skills, make your kids sit flashcards. We're talking about connection skills here.
Yes.
Skills to, when you see tantrums, this is what you do, but also skills to create an environment where they don't need to exist. Because remember, they are communication of frustration that happens from environments that break down, you know, that's where meltdowns come from, is blockages and breakdown in communication. You don't understand me. I've had it.
And the trick that I found that I honestly, like, I didn't expect this, like, this wasn't why I had gotten into the field. But one of the things that it keeps surprising me, even though like I keep bumping into it, like, so I should stop surprising me. But the things I'm hearing from the parents and the therapists are that they find that they have better tools in the middle of the night to be able to, for themselves, feel more regulated to support their child with their regulation, which to me, like, you know, in hindsight, like, again, I don't know why I keep getting surprised. Like, I should have already given up. But, you know, in hindsight, like, that makes sense. Like, if a person's working on and is internalizing these things in order to be able to teach them, then they're going to actually benefit themselves. But I'm hearing from parents, you know, I was just talking to a parent about helping their child with like self and other, with like figuring out, and she's like, oh, I guess I have to work on that also. And like, you know, and like, that's something that I can develop, and I can, you know, and that modeling for the child. And to me, more than even modeling the skill of having self and other, the capacity to grow and the desire to grow in our skills for connection is what's so empowering. Like, that they see parents and adults, their role models are actually people who are trying to grow, like, what is a better lesson than you could teach your child? I don't know.
You grow. You know? Well, yeah. And so I hear the same thing. My relationship with my spouse is better. My relationship with my job is better. We found the right house for us to live in. My world is falling together. I got a good job. Why is all that happening? Because you yourself are improving your ability to connect self and other with your little kid, with their teachers, with your boss, with your partner, everybody. And that's, I think, the secret, right? We don't often dig in to our own lack of connection because it happens subconsciously. It's programmed into us. You know, we get in, who knows how we get separated and all into our own selves, solving our own problems and dealing in our own minds, right? And when we learn how effective it is to share, right? And connect and find a way, you understand me, you're going to help me.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I find again and again with this is, first of all, it's painful. Like the pain that, you know, these are parents there's no pain if there's no care. There's no pain if there's no love. Mm-hmm. So parents that are in pain and either are dissociating from their kids, like they don't want to engage with their child. I was speaking to a parent a while back, and she was telling me how every time her child opens their mouth, they feel like, you know, just, oh my gosh, how long is this going to take? And just like, I can't. And, you know, her frame of it was, there's something wrong with me as a parent. There's something wrong with my child. There's, you know, there's too much ego involved. And my problem is that I'm too egotistical. And being able to see that, really, just like the skills for connection that we want to frame it, that the tools that we want to teach, that we want her to be able to utilize with her child, they utilize within herself of how she interacts with her child, is based on connection. If she can reframe that pain in recognizing the strength in it, where she sees, oh my gosh, like I love my child so much. When I see my child's challenge, this is painful for me because I love my child. And there's something about that's energizing, that changes the whole process from being one of like a smallness and coming from a place of diminishment and disempowerment and helplessness, where it becomes a journey of discovery and exploration and curiosity. And that to me is the paradigm shift that occurs when you think about any of our communication skills, any of our connection skills, when it comes from that place of love, the whole parameter changes. And that's really, you know, I wasn't planning on opening a business or opening training programs. That wasn't my thing. I just wanted to connect with kids and teach kids and teach parents and teach, you know, I had never had in mind. But when I found that what was available was so many of things that were like punitive, like that were coming from our smallness of like, oh, they're, you know, how do you have to act like this so that way people like you? You have to engage like this. And so many of the existing programs that were out there, very wonderful, helping a lot of kids. But I found that underlying component, when it was coming from a place of disconnect and judgment versus coming from connection, that actually drained our students, drained our clients, drained their families, drained the schools. The system changed. So when I talk to, you know, when I do school trainings, when I do therapist trainings, when I do parent trainings, and I talk to them, and we try and really understand what is at the core of these issues. And then what I find that is the biggest piece that comes out of this paradigm shift is that meltdowns, though they are very often because of miscommunication, become learning opportunities. And they become not things that are threatening to our parents or to our teachers. The teacher doesn't come home and say, I had a bad day because my student had a meltdown. They now feel empowered. They know how to support their students because the process is one of growth and development and connection. It's a it's a change. It's a, it's a, it doesn't sound like it's such a big deal, but it really does shift the weight, the burden of my child is messed up. My child is doing something wrong. I must have done something wrong. I don't have the energy for this, to I can. This is hopeful. This is curious. This is love. This is adventure even. But yeah, this is adventurous, and it's energizing, because that paradigm shift is opens the gate and the door to, you know.
Yeah, because you go from the mom who is overwhelmed by the late talker's meltdowns to the mom who is empowered, because every time it happens, and it's happening less often, more and more, I know exactly what to do, and I know exactly how to work him through it, because he got himself in a situation that he needed my help, and I rose up to did it for him. And who am I? I'm the superhero.
That's for sure. But also, not only that, not only do you get to be the supermom, but when you're not the supermom, when you haven't stood up to the occasion, and when you lost it and you yelled at your child, you are in this process of development. Just like you have compassion for your child's process of emotional dysregulation, you're able to see yourself in that process as well. And that is a very big game changer, because then you're allowed to make mistakes, and they don't then make you have to make the same mistake. They are just a mistake and a
learn. It's trial and error. Listen, parenting is trial and error. Development is trial and error. Evolution is trial and error. If we didn't have errors, we wouldn't know what doesn't work. Can you give us a little bit of a strategy to share, a connection strategy, a common one that works for parents and professionals, that you give, maybe a situational thing that you can share with us? Let me give you a situation.
Okay.
Let's talk about the mom who is in the middle of this evolution, where she sees a lot of behavior that she is herself not even sure where it's coming from, and other people are judging, and she doesn't really know what to do. Where do you start?
There's different components to that, because there's the other and the self, and there's the piece within, how to work within, like there's self and others, but there's the space within your own self of the awareness of the process of the emotional identification of the communication within that space. And then there's recognition and the empathy of another and working with that. And then the communication that has to happen between the two. So let's say we started with her with, you know, just talking about self, you know, and being able to like identify like, okay, I see, you know, that mom rolled her eyes at me in the store. I think that she thinks I'm a bad mom. I'm feeling embarrassed. This is my I see, I think, I feel, I choose model. And I choose to take a deep breath. Okay, now I took a deep breath. My body's in a different place. My emotions are in a different place, because I've now refueled, added oxygen to my frontal lobe. Now I can think more abstractly. I can think more productively. Okay, so now I'm in that place. Okay, I see that she rolled her eyes. I think she does not understand what's going on over here. I feel curious. Oh, she doesn't understand. Curious. It's a very different place than guilt or shame. I choose to say, oh, my child can't hear, doesn't have, you know, struggles with hearing, or I choose to tell them it as a tantrum, or I choose to smile at her and have compassion that she is limited in her understanding of other people, whatever it is. Okay. Now, you have a myriad of ways that you can react to any situation, but it always starts with self and taking that responsibility of what is going on in my own self. And when we do that for ourselves, we actually are better equipped to support our child who's having that tantrum in the grocery store and that mom who's watching. Because now I know, okay, I'm feeling embarrassed. I'm feeling pressured. And it's a process. I was recently somewhere with my own child, my 3-year-old child, and there was somebody who was vomiting, and my child was very uncomfortable. Kept on looking at this other, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want this person to be embarrassed that my child is staring at them. Now, if I took time to take care of my own concern, like my own thought process, sort of tune into what this self is experiencing. Like my, I'm scared they're going to be embarrassed that my child. Now I could stay there, or I can change my thought, or I can, you know, pull my child away and be like, don't look, you know, and rebuke my child. Or I can go to a place of, okay, my child's also concerned, like he's never seen this before. He doesn't know what to make of this. Maybe he's scared. Now there's so much space, but if I don't take care of my own self and even the consciousness of my own self of what's going on, then I can't ever be there for my child or even the other person because I'm reactive. Then I'm just going with whatever first, the first thought that came to my mind, my first feeling that came to my mind. Remember, it's I see, I think, I feel, I choose, that I'm stuck in that first place of self. There is no other. And I mean, there's no other for my child and there's no other for this, this poor person who is vomiting. Okay. Now this is, one of the fundamental ways that we could start, because then we are involved in the process. So no longer is my child the strange beast that is melting down and is struggling and what is wrong with my child, alienated, judgment, distance. This is something that I also struggle with as a parent, as a human being, as a person. Now, when I learn these skills, I can connect to myself and now I can connect to my child.
So before you can do this, and that's so, it's such, so amazing that you automatically, as soon as I came at you with, this is going on in my life, you know, which what we hear from parents is, all right, we can see that this is what's going on in your life. Let's get back to what you can do about it. And what you can do about it is how you react. That's all you can do. It's all you can do.
And they'll tell, like, you know, parents will ask me and I say, I'm not finished with this development. I won't be till I'm dead, you know?
No.
Let's say like they, you know, let's say a parent will say to me, my child's having a hard time with perspective taking, or my child is not learning how to share their toys, or my child is having meltdowns, or my child is bullying other kids, or my child is, you know, making comments in the classroom, or my child sent out an inappropriate text to the class chat. You know, these are all things that happen.
Yeah.
Now, that what's happening is just like, first of all, the parent's going to have a response to this. So first starting with the parent, but then helping the child be able to process what happened. What did you see? What were you thinking? What did you feel? And then what did you choose? And that is all from a place of just exploration. It's curious. You're going to be surprised what you hear from your child when you ask them, what did you see? Like, oh, because that wasn't even actually what you saw. Oh, you saw that the person said that emoji. You found it offensive and that was why you texted that back. Oh, that was totally actually not what was going on in the rest of everyone else's mind.
It's all coming from, a lack of connection and lack of understanding. Mm-hmm. But when we're reactive, then we say things we don't mean. Mm-hmm. We do things we don't mean. It's all unconscious. Mm-hmm. It's not a real conscious behavior that you have thought through. That's why this process where you go through that whole thing. You have time, everybody. Life doesn't move that fast that you can't, in the middle of watching a kid throw up and your kid giving him looks, you have the seconds to stop, see, think, take a deep breath, choose to react a different way. And I love that. But it takes practice, right? It doesn't have
to. And I didn't, by the way, I'm just letting you know, honestly, in that moment, I didn't. It wasn't until a few minutes after the situation was resolved that I realized. And then I had, because I missed the boat in the moment, but then I didn't miss the boat afterwards because I could still review with my child. Because that's the wonderful thing about parenthood, is that it's not a one day thing. It's not a 5 minute interaction. It's every day. So this way, when we make mistakes, we get to repair. So then I can, once I had recentered in myself and knew what I was thinking, then I could say to my child, what did you see? Oh, you saw that man, he was making really loud noises. What were you thinking? That was scary for you. He could tell me it was scary for me. You were feeling scared. You know, what do you want to do? You know, do you want to take a deep breath? Do you want to sit on mommy's lap? What would you want to do? And allow the child to process it. but it wasn't, you know, it's not, I do this all day. I teach trained parents. I train therapists and it's a process, you know,
Reason that you saw it, the reason that you brought up this particular example is because it was an example where some parents would have saw, well, she failed in the moment. She failed because she didn't, you know, here she is the expert, right? And she didn't react to her child in the moment appropriately. We all act inappropriately. We all say things because we're surprised by these things. This is a weird, crazy situation that you're talking about. And what do you do? But after, see, and here's the thing that I love that you give your kiddo credit for that a lot of parents of late talking kids don't. And your kid's not late talking, but it doesn't matter. You give kids credit for is they're thinking about these events just like you are. Right. After it's over, it doesn't mean that they forget, boof, it's out of their mind, yeah. Right? They're mulling it over. But you took the initiative to stay in yourself and go, I'm not feeling good about how that went down. I have more work to do here. Yeah. I have to engage with my kid. I have to process this, go through the process. Just like you said, we have to process. And that's why they call it processing, everybody, is because it's not just a thought and reaction. It's a thought and a conscious reaction that comes from your experience of, I know what works for me. And this isn't working. So let me pull out the tools, you know, all of those tools. So when you're equipped, then you've got the tools, but it's practice that lets you embed them into your life and keep your life moving forward. Wow. We could talk about this for hours and hours and hours, but I want you to share right now because, well, first of all, you had talked about the waves of communication resources. How do the waves of communication resources match with what you're doing?
It's about connection. It's about connection. It gets to the heart that the point of any of the tools we're trying to teach is about connection. When we're trying to, we want our kids to talk, we want them to communicate. It has to be from a place of connection. It has to be. It's the only way for it to work. And then from that, like, you know, even the word waves, waves brings this, you know, image of your mind of like this natural flow. And it is connection is flow. It's energy. It's possibility. And that's really, it comes from connection. Connection is empowering. It's just beautiful. Yeah. Nothing better.
That's great. Really, and that's really why it's called Waves of Communication, because it literally does. Thank you for sharing that. Now, tell us about yours. How can our parents access your resources? Or if you're a professional or a school, right, who you're looking to equip a team, because our speaker today knows that when a whole school is on the right path, every kid in the school does better. Yeah. And that's what we want. Like, you can do it from a micro in your own household to a macro in your whole school district if you want, working with these strategies. How do people access them?
So I have a website, skillsforconnection.com. Actually, I have like a demo where people like can just like get like a feel for the taste of what it looks like, what a construct is. You know, and then understand like, okay, so this is the cognitive component. And we have like parent cohorts where like parents can either listen to the recordings or either live or in advance. And then either we'll do consultation with me or a therapist will do that, or I'll go do school trainings. Very often a parent will go to the cohort and they'll be like, well, I want my kid to be doing this all day long in their math lesson. So they'll get their school on board, or they'll sponsor like a staff training for them to get the social emotional learning in the classroom. Skillsforconnection.com.
Perfect. Yeah, she'll tell you everything about it. And then really quick, and now you've just moved overseas, yeah. I understand. Tell us a little bit about your life and how things are working for you now. How are you using this right now?
So I actually found one of the things when I moved to Israel, and it's a very different culture. It's not the States. And so even my children in school have to interact in a different way. And the social expectations are different. And the way that, you know, you engage is different. And even the way you connect is different. And the thing that I'm really focusing on is that at the core of any of these nuanced differences, which are important and help help with connection, that at the core of it is always that component of connection. So what might seem to be like a strange or foreign way of communicating is actually just it's a stylistic difference, and being able to, I have to learn the stylistic difference in order to be able to speak their language, because I have to have perspective taking skills to learn that there is an other and to understand who the other is and where they're coming from, and to be able to understand, okay, well, what feels different for me and how I can better be able to bridge that gap between self and other. So I'm having, you know, even with the parents that I'm working with here, and I'm still largely working with, you know, families and schools and therapists, primarily in the United States, where I'm from. But I actually have been finding the whole experience very eye-opening.
We're a worldwide platform. More than 100 families in 20 countries have actually signed on to work with me. So I myself am having to really help these parents. I don't understand all of these different cultures. And they often are expats. They're living in India and moving to Scandinavian countries or the US or places like that. And they're realizing this self and others, even if they are speaking English, it's not the same English, you know? And so the culture environment, it's important to have that connection. So understanding, I guess, so that you can develop connection, because, you know, being open to, you know, you moved there. You want your kids to be in school there. So they're going to have to learn to adapt as well. And you as a mom can help them facilitate that, you know, through their teaching them to connect with their caregivers and teachers and stuff. So I love that. Wow. Like I said, we could talk forever. And I'm really pleased that you're out there helping train staff and therapists all over and parents to connect more. Please, everybody, access Miriam's input. Go over to the website and try out her free thing, because you'll understand. It doesn't take much to realize how powerful this is, because the first thing that happens is you feel better. You feel happy. You feel safe. You feel confident. Like, I can do this. Like, I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm not going to be great every day, but I still love myself. I love my kid. And through that, we'll get there, right?
Yeah, Mars, you got it. I feel like you really got it. And that learning is like part, it's just exciting. It doesn't have to feel like a burden.
It's an adventure. Life is an adventure, evolutionary venture. Mm-hmm. Expect we're going to have hurdles. Expect we're going to have challenges. But yes, we got each other. We got our connection. I'll help you. You help me. We'll get through them. Nobody's broken. Mm-hmm. Everybody's evolving. We break down and fix ourselves up 24/7, and we're never stopping. That's right. So
thank you, Marcy. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me. Everybody, check out these resources, and we'll see you all in the next one. Bye for now. Thanks for tuning in today. With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation Journey to Speech workbook. This tool is helping parents worldwide create nonstop language facilitation opportunities that elevate spoken language beyond even their own expectations. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.